Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Charlie Herman, and you're listening to Money Talking at Work. It's where we figure out how to survive, maybe even thrive in the workplace. And today, what do you do when you're pissed off at work?
We get triggered. They say something, they do something, it sets something off on us, and before we even know it, we've gotten into a fight.
Peter Bregman writes for the Harvard Business Review, and he runs a coaching and consulting company. He says you probably have your own unique trigger at work, that thing that just makes you lose it. You're in a meeting, you get angry, you might even say something that you know you shouldn't, but you just can't hold back, and you blurt out, well, that idea is just stupid.
You know, stupid is a relative term, right? So to say an idea is stupid in and of itself has no meaning.
Yeah, it's not very kind. Obviously, saying that is so stupid is itself a stupid thing to say. It's not very helpful. So the challenge is, what should you do instead?
So instead of saying that idea is stupid, the answer might be, how does that idea help us get closer to this objective that we're talking about? It's stupid because it doesn't get us closer. So we could take the word stupid out and just put it in the context of how well it gets us to the objectives that we're trying to get to. And then they can say, yeah, that was a stupid idea. Sorry.
This is not easy. So I asked Bregman to take me through the process step by step of how to de-escalate, how to change my habits that are causing fights. Okay, because I know that the way that I kind of deal with someone when I get triggered is I have to tell somebody else, this person just super irritated me about something. Like, I need to get it off my chest, and then I'm totally fine, and the trigger's gone away, and I'm not upset at all.
It's a dangerous strategy.
Yes, I have a feeling it's probably not working. And I can think of a recent example where someone started talking about something that just had absolutely nothing to do with what we as a news organization would really be involved in. And I kept thinking, why are we even entertaining this conversation? So what should I do in that situation? Because I just found myself in my mind rolling my eyes and going stone face, and I have a horrible poker face.
You know, the reality is you're asking a very good question. Why is this a conversation we should be having is a fine question to ask. If you ask it while rolling your eyes and throwing your hands up in the air, it may not be received so well. But to say, you know, we've got some things that we need to focus on, is this really the smartest use of our time? That's a great leadership question.
So think about it. What's your trigger? What sets you off? Here's one for me. It's being left out of a project, and then at the last minute, I'm brought in and I'm told to make it happen.
I want to be liked. So when it seems like someone's not liking me or judging me, I can get triggered. What I will immediately do is go to a story about them that makes me feel better. Right? If I feel like they're judging me, then I'll decide there's something wrong with them. And what it will do is it will disconnect me from them. And I know that that's not the ultimate outcome I want. I want to be connected to people. And then this is the key. I have to be willing to tolerate the feeling of what it feels like to feel judged. If I'm willing to tolerate that feeling, then I can actually move on. But if I'm not willing to tolerate it, I'll do something so I don't have to feel it. And that's getting angry or blowing them off or talking to someone else about them.
Okay, so you've got something that triggers you at work. How do you stop it? Give me some steps I should take.
So I've got three steps. One is a moment of awareness. The most important thing to do is to take a deep breath, to take 4 seconds or 5 seconds, to pause, to slow down, and to recognize you're in one of those situations where you may be about to do something you really don't want to do. And you're literally slowing down your neurological response. So what happens when you're triggered is that you have a stimulus to your amygdala. It's the part of the brain that's reptilian, that, you know, fight, flight, and freeze. And so when you slow that down, when you take a breath, you allow the stimulus time to get to your neocortex. That's the part of your brain that makes rational choices. So once you've slowed down, you can then make a decision, what am I going to do next?
And?
The second is the ability to resist an urge. You have that urge. We both described it. I have it too. The ability to resist the urge to roll our eyes and throw our arms up the air and yell and say you're crazy. And, you know, the first question that I would ask is, what is the outcome that I want to achieve? What am I going for here? Do I want a relationship with the person? Do I want to get away from this situation as fast as I can? Do I want to get the meeting to end? Do I want to humiliate them? All of those could be valid outcomes that you want to achieve. What is the outcome you want to achieve? And when you've thought about the outcome, Only then do you choose the behavior that you think will get you to that outcome. And then the third is a replacement behavior. We need something else to do in that moment that would not only de-trigger us, but also help us achieve the objectives that we have. In your case, having a conversation that actually moves the organization forward.
I mean, it sounds like really good, simple advice, but it's not very easy to follow.
It's very hard in the moment to follow. And there's things that you can do to develop it. I don't know that you're going to want to do this, but meditation on an ongoing basis, even if it's for 4 or 5 minutes a day, I know.
I can only imagine in the middle of a meeting, me, putting my thumb and forefinger together in a circle and thinking to myself, serenity now, serenity now.
Yeah, the truth is, I wouldn't do it in the moment. I would do it in preparation. It's a skill that you end up training. Because here's the thing, if you meditate, even if it's just for 3 or 4 minutes, while you're meditating, you're going to get an urge to do something. I don't know what it is. It's going to be to write down the best idea that you've ever had for a show. And you're not going to follow through on that idea because you're meditating. And resisting that urge in that moment is developing your capacity to resist urges. So just sitting and doing nothing for 3 or 4 minutes a day will increase your capability in that moment to take a breath and not follow through on that urge.
But, you know, this kind of is a two-way street. And if the other person isn't making any changes, are you still able to implement this, what you talk about?
Yeah, I'm going to match you and raise you here. I'm going to tell you to expect the other person to change nothing.
Okay.
Right? That we're generally setting ourselves up if we're wanting people or expecting people to change something. And so you have to assume that your job is to make all the changes. Maybe they'll change, maybe they won't, but assume that they'll be the same. I think it's kind of a fun game to go, I'm going to try asking them a question instead of telling them something. And I want to see if it changes anything. It's an experiment. I'm a scientist.
It just feels like this is like the fundamental tenet of management, which is that you can't change anybody. And if you really want to be successful, you might actually have to change your reaction to that person in order to get to that bigger, to play the long game, to get to that bigger goal that you're trying to get to.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I also think it could be fun. Like, I think people do change. I think that ultimately this idea of resistance to change is an old failed idea, in my view, that people change all the time effortlessly because they want to. What people don't want to do is to be changed.
So be told
to change. Yeah, if you're trying to change me, I'm going to resist that to my dying breath. But if I choose to change, I change all the time. I've been on like 12 diets and I keep changing. I change what I eat all the time. So what that means is that if I'm the leader in a situation, I want to try to say something differently, to connect with someone in a different way, to approach something differently so that they make a choice to change. I don't necessarily want to expect them to stop talking all the time, but I want to ask them a question in a certain way where the value add from what they say is more useful.
Peter, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Charlie.
Peter Bregman is the CEO of Bregman Partners, a leadership consulting and coaching company. So what about you? Do you have something that just really sets you off at work? Some trigger that makes you go crazy? Have you found a way to find peace in the moment, be okay at the office and not go crazy? Well, tell us about it. You can find us on Twitter at Money Talking, or even better, record your story on your smartphone and then email us, moneytalking@wnyc.org. Money Talking is a production of WNYC Studios. Our team includes Merritt Jacob and Julia Longoria. Special thanks, as always, to Amy Poftak at the Harvard Business Review. I'm Charlie Herman. Thanks so much for listening.